ይህ ኖተ ዲሞክራሲ የኢትዮጵያ አንድነት ድምጽ ነው። ኖተ ዲሞክራሲ የኢትዮጵያ አንድነት ድምጽ በየቀኑ በኢትዮጵያ ህዝባዊ አብዮታዊ ፓርቲ ኢሃፓ እየተዘጋጀ የሚቀርብ የሳተላይት ስርጭት ነው። ስርጭታችን የሚተላለፈው በናይል ሳት 8 ዲግሪ ዌስት 11595 ሜጋሄርዝ ፍኖተ ዲሞክራሲ ሲሆን በኢንተርኔት በድረገጻችን fnota.org fnote.org በቀጥታ መከታተል ይቻላል።
እንደምን አመሻችሁ ወንድሞቻችን። ዛሬ ረቡዕ ሰኔ 26 ቀን 2011 ዓ.ም ነው። ፍኖተ ዲሞክራሲ የኢትዮጵያ አንድነት ድምጽ በየቀኑ ከምሽቱ 1 ሰዓት እስከ 3 ሰዓት የሚያስተላልፈውን መደበኛ ፕሮግራም አሁን ይጀምራል። አገራችን ከዳጠን ዘረኞች ወደ ሌሎች ራሳቸውን ከፍ ወደሚያደርጉ ጸረ ታሪክ ነጭ አምላኪ ዘረኞች ተሸጋግራለች። ራሳቸውን ችለው የሚቆሙ ባለም ሆነቸው ወያኔ የፈለገውንና የሚያዛቸውን ዓለምንም ጥያቄ ተግባራዊ ያደርጋሉ። በቅድሚያ ወዴት እየሄድን ነው በሚልስ አገራችን አሁን ያለችበትን ሁኔታ በሚመለከት የቀረበውን ሐተታ እናሰማለን። በማስከተልም የፓርላማ አባላትና የመሪዎች ሁኔታ በሚልስ ጥር 28 ቀን 2011 ዓ.ም አስተላልፈነው የነበረውን ጽሑፍ በመጨረሻም የኢትዮጵያ ህዝባዊ አብዮታዊ ፓርቲ ኢሃፓ ከፍተኛ አመራር ኮሚቴ አባል አቶ ኢያሱ አለማየሁ በእንግሊዝኛ ቋንቋ ከፍኖተ ርዕይ ጋር ያደረጉትን ቃለ ምልልስ አሰምተን ክፍል አንድ ፕሮግራማችን ይጠናቀቃል። በቅድሚያ ዜና።
ከጥቂት ቀናት በፊት በባህር ዳርና በአዲስ አበባ ከተከሰቱ ጥቃቶች ጋር በተያያዘ መፈንቅለ መንግስት ሊያደርጉ አድመዋል በሚል የጥርጣሬ ወንጀላ በቁጥጥር ስር ውለዋል የተባሉት በሪሁን አዳነ፣ ማስተዋል አረጋ፣ ስንታየው ቸኮል፣ መርከቡ ኃይሌና ጌዲዮን ወንደፈን በጨለማና ቀዝቃዛ ክፍሎች ታስረው እየተሰቃዩ መሆናቸው ተነገረ። ይህ የተገለጸው በእስረኞቹ ጠበቃ በሄኖክ አክሊሉ ሲሆን ሁኔታውን ይፋ ያደረገው በፍርድ ቤት ትዕዛዝ እስረኞቹን ስለ ሁኔታቸው አነጋግሮ መረጃ ካገኘ በኋላ ነው። እስረኞቹ በጨለማና ቀዝቃዛ ክፍሎች ውስጥ ከመታሰራቸው በተጨማሪ በቀን አንድ ጊዜ ብቻ ለመጸዳዳት እንደሚወጡም በተጨማሪ ተነግሯል። በሰላሌ ዩኒቨርሲቲ በተነሳ ግጭት ሁለት ተማሪዎች ሕይወታቸው ሲያልፍ ሌሎች አምስት ተማሪዎች አካል ጉዳት የደረሰባቸው መሆኑ ታውቋል። ግጭቱ ሊቀሰቀስ የቻለው በጠና ታሞ የነበረውና በተፈጥሮ ሕይወቱ ያለፈው ተማሪ ተገፍትሮ ነው የሞተው የሚል ቅስቀሳ በማድረግ የተወሰኑ ተማሪዎች ሌሎችን በማነሳሳታቸው ምክንያት ነው ተብሏል። በግጭቱ ምክንያት በርካታ ንብረቶች ወድመዋል። በአሁን ወቅት የጸጥታ ኃይሎች በዩኒቨርሲቲው ካምፓስ በመገኘት ጸጥታውን ለማረጋጋት እየሞከሩ ናቸው ቢባልም ተማሪዎች በየቦታው እየተበታተኑ መሆናቸውና በአካባቢውም ከፍተኛ ውጥረት መፈጠሩ እየተነገረ ነው። በጸጥታ ችግር ምክንያት የኢትዮጵያ የማዕድን ነዳጅና ባዮፊል ኮርፖሬሽን ወደ ስራ እንዳልተመለሰ ተነገረ። የኮርፖሬሽኑ የኮሙኒኬሽን ኃላፊ ለዜና ተቋሞች በሰጡት ማብራሪያ ኮርፖሬሽኑ በጉጂ ዞን በባቦሮ ወረዳ ታንታለን የተባለውን ማዕድን የማውጣት ስራውን በጸጥታ ችግር ምክንያት ካቆመው አንድ ዓመት ከስድስት ወር ያለፉ መሆናቸውን ጠቅሰው በአካባቢው የጸጥታ ሁኔታ ባለመሻሻሩ ስራው ሊጀምር አልቻለም ብለዋል። አገዛዙ በተለይ የኦነግ ቡድኖችን እንቅስቃሴ ለማስቆም ባለመቻሉና ባለመፈለጉ በርካታ የማምረቻ ተቋሞች ችግር ላይ መውደቃቸው በተደጋጋሚ ተዘግቧል። በአዲስ አበባ እየተስፋፋና እየተንሰራፋ የመጣውን ልመና ለማስቀረት የከተማዋ አስተዳደር የሕግ ረቂቅ ያዘጋጀ መሆኑ ተገለጸ። የሕግ ረቂቁ ሰጪዎችን ለመቅጣት የታቀደ መሆኑም ተገልጿል። ለችግረኞችና ለስራ አጦች ቋሚ ስራ አዘጋጅቶ አስተማማኝ ገቢ የሚያገኝበት ሁኔታ እንደመፍጠር ልመናን በሕግ ለማስቆም ማቀዱ ያስተዳደሩን ምንነት በጋድ ያሳየ ሲሆን ተጮችን በሕግ ለመቅጣት የመነጨው ሐሳብ ኢሰባዊና ኢሞራላዊ ነው የሚሉ በርካቶች ናቸው። ባለፈው እሁድ ሰኔ 23 ቀን በሃይፋይ ከተማ ኬሪያት ሃይም ከሚባለው ቀበሌ አካባቢ በእስራኤል ፖሊስ በግፍ የተገደለውን የ19 ዓመቱን ወጣት የሰለሞን ተካ መገደል በመቃወም ማክሰኞ ሰኔ 24 ቀን ምሽት ላይ በተለያዩ የእስራኤል ከተሞች ከፍተኛ የተቃውሞ ሰልፎች ተደርገዋል። በተደረጉት ሰልፎች መንገዶች ከመዘጋታቸው በተጨማሪ መኪናዎችና ሌሎች ቁሳቁሶችም መቃጠላቸው ታውቋል። ፖሊስ 138 ሰልፈኞች መታሰራቸውን ገልጾ 111 ፖሊሶች የአካል ጉዳት ደርሶባቸዋል ብሏል። ረቡ ሰኔ 26 ቀን ማለዳ ላይ በሊቢያ የስደተኞች እስር ቤት ላይ በተፈጸመ የአየር ድብደባ በትንሹ 44 ሰዎች መገደላቸውና ከ130 በላይ የቆሰሉ መሆናቸውን ከቦታው የተገኘው መረጃ ይገልጻል። በተመድና በመዕራባውያን የሚደገፈውና መቀመጫውን ትሪፖሊ ከተማ ላይ ያደረገው የሊቢያ መንግስት በጀነራል ከሊፋ ሀፍታር የሚመራው ኃይል ጥቃቱን እንደፈጸመ ገልጾ የተባበሩት መንግስታት ድርጅት ጉዳዩን እንዲመረምር ጥያቄ አቀርቧል። በሊቢያ እስር ቤቶች ከ6000 በላይ ስደተኞች የሚገኙባቸው ሲሆን ከነዚህ ውስጥ ኢትዮጵያውያን ስደተኞች እንደሚገኙበትም ይታወቃል። ለለቱ ያናቸው ዜናዎች እነዚህ ነበሩ። ከቀሪ ዝግጅቶቻችን ጋር መልካም ቆይታ።
ኢትዮጵያ በከፊልም ቢሆን እድል ሰጥቷቸው ነበር። ወያኔን አገለል ያሉት እውነት መስሎት ኢትዮጵያ ሲሉ አምኖ በተካሄደው አደናጋሪ የቀስቀሳ ዘመቻ ተደናግሮ ትብሳ ይሆን ትሻ ይሆኑ ይሆን ብሎ በተስፋ ገሽሙቹ አላስቻላቸውም። ሳይውል ሳያድር ማንነታቸውን ገለጹ። ሶሻሊስት ኢትዮጵያዊነት ወዲያውኑ ተነነ። ስንፈኛ ዘረኞችን በክብር እንግድነት ጋበዙ። የህዝብን የወያኔ ኢህአዴግ ይወገድ ጥያቄ አናከብርም ከማለታቸው ሌላ የምን የሽግግር መንግስት እኔ ነኝ የማሻግራችሁ ብሎ የወያኔው ኮሎኔል ተሳለቀብን። ምታት ቡድኖችን ኮረኮሉ። የባንክ ቅጥረኝነታቸውን ደግመው አሳዩ። ከመቅጽበትም አስቀያሚ መልካቸውን በጌዲዮና ቡራዩ አሳዩን። የቀጠለውን የምናውቀውና በስቃይ እየኖር ነው ያለ ነው። ሹሙ አገራችንን ሊጎዳና ሊያዋረድ መምጣቱን ከጠዋቱ ነው ያሳየን። በነፍሰ ገዳዩ ኢሳያስ ፊት ሲቅለፈለፍና የሀገር ክብር ሲያዋርድ ብቻ ሳይሆን ለነሳውሊም ሲሰግድና አሜሪካ በሰጠው አማካሪዎች ራሱን ሲክብ፣ ዋናው ግን አማራ ክርስቲያን በምንጭ አማራ ነው ያለውን ወንጀለኛ የክብር እንግዳ ብሎ ሲያፍና አጋሩን አስመራ ድረስ ልኮ ኦነግን ተለማምጦ ሲያስገባም ነው። የመጀመሪያ እንግዶቹና ዛሬ የኦሪፋ አባል የሆኑት የአሶሳ በደኖ ወንጀለኞችን እንሊንቾን ይጠቅሷል። የኢትዮጵያን ሰንደቅ ዓላማ በኦነግ ባንዲራ ለመተካት የሰጠውን እድልና ማበረታቻ ያስታውሷል። ከመቅጽበት በዋና ዋና ተቋሞችና ቦታዎች የብሔረሰቡንና የሃይማኖቱን አባሎች ሾሞ ዳግማዊ ወያኔ ሆነብን። ድሮስ ምን ኖሮ ማለትን አስከተለ። በአንዲት ጥቂት ዓመት ውስጥ ዘረኛው አገዛዝ መቀጠሉና በአስከፊ መልኩ ወንጀል ሊሰራ መነሳቱ ተረጋግጦ የተገጠመውን የተክለሰብ ባለቤት ሊሆን የከጀለው ሹም እየከሰረ ዋሾና የከፋ ዘረኛ ሆኖ ተጋለጠ። በየቦታው በመዞርም ሲለፈፍና በማያውቀው ሁሉ አዋቂ ነኝ ብሎ ሲቀባጥር ጥራት ነጠቅነቱንና ዶክተር የተባለው ያው እንደ ወያኔ መሀይም ዶክተሮች መሆኑን አስመሰከረ። ሹሞቹ የኦሮሞ ጠባቦችና በዋናው ደግሞ የፍጹም ስልጣን ጥመኞች ናቸው። የሽግግርን ሂደት እምቢኝ ብለው የገለማውን የምርጫ መንገዳቸው ሊጓዙበት መነሳታቸው ይህንኑ ያረጋግጣል። ስርዓት አልበኝነትን በዘረኝነት አጅበው አስነውብን ሰላምን በሀገር ያለ ይመስል፣ የወያኔ ምርጫ ህግ የተቀየረ ይመስል ምርጫ ብለው የሚያሾፉብን አንድም ንቀት መሆኑን ህዝብ አላጣውም። ግዴ በመገርሳ ተተካ እንጂ ለውጥ የለም ብሎ ህዝብ ለመደምደም ወዲያውኑ ተገዷል። ሁሉም ዘጋ እንደሚያውቀው የኦሮሞ ህዝብ ለመብቱ መከበር ለረጅም ዓመታት ያደረገውን ትግል በማይወክል መልክ የተመሰረተው ኦነግ ኦሮሞ ኢትዮጵያዊ አይደለም በሚል ሐሰት ራሱን በጥብጦ ነፃ ኦሮሚያን ማቋቋም ነው ግባችን ብሎ የቆየ ነው። የአይተማሪ ድንቢት ጥልበልና ኦነግ ሻቢያን ኮርጆ የኢትዮጵያ ቀኝ ተገዥ ነን ማለቱና አሁንም በመርሃ ግብሩ ይህን አቋም ማንጸባረቁም የሚታወቅ ነው። ኦነግ በኦሮሞ ህዝብ ትግል ውስጥ በጠርዝ የፖለቲካ ምድረ በዳ የከረመ ሲሆን ባገኘው እድልም መሪዎቹ ከመጣው ባለነፍጥ ጋር ለመግጠምና የስልጣን ፍርፋሪ ለመካፈልም ወደ ኋላ ሲሉ አልታዩም። ፋሽስቱ ደርግ ሲመጣ ዋና አጃቢና ቀበልተኛ ታጣቂ የሆነ ወንጀል ፈጽመዋል። ፋሽስቱ ደርግ ለህዝብ ለኦሮሞም ጭምር የማይጠቅም ነው ብሎ አምሮ የታገለው ግን ህብረ ብሔሩ ኢህአፓ መሆኑን ህዝብ አልረሳም። ወያኔ ለስልጣን ሲደርስ መለስ ዜናዊን በህገ ወጥነቱ እንዳያጅቡት ቢመከሩ እነ ሌንጮ ሱዳን ተጫነን በሚል ሀርማን ኮሆን ወደ አዘጋጀው የእጅ መስጫ ጉባኤ ወደ ለንደን አምርተው ሌንጮ ራሱ እንዳለው የበይ ተመልካች የግድግዳ ዝንብ ሆነው ተቀለደባቸው። ወያኔ ሽግግር ሲልም ከድጋፍ ውጭ ምንም ሳያሰሙ ያው 12 በርጩማና ሹመት ቢጤም ተሰጥቷቸው ሳይውል ሳያድር ከገዛ ጋራቸው ውጡ ብሎ መለስ ዜናዊ ሲያስወጣቸው ሌንጮና ዲማ ቤተ መንግስት ሄደው ከመለስ ተላክሰው መውጣታቸውን ወያኔ ወደ 20 የሚቆጠሩ ዜጎችን ኦነግ ብሎ ይዞ ባለበት ታሪክ ይመሰክራል። ለማይረባ ስልጣን ሲበቁም እድል አገኘን ብለው የተፋፍ ጉዟቸውን መያያዛቸውን እነ ኢብሳ ጉተማ የትምህርት ሚኒስቴርን ተብለው በሰሩትም ታዝበናል። መላው የኦሮሞ ህዝብ ግን ለወያኔ ሳይገብር ተለጣፊውን ኦህዴድንም ጨምሮ ሲታገል እንደነበር ታሪክ ያስታውሰናል። ይህን ሁሉ ወደ ኋላ መለስ ብለንና ጫና ሰጥተን ለማንሳት የፈለግነው ኦነግ ከስረ መሰረቱ በጸረ ኢትዮጵያ ጸረ አማራ ቅኝት በመጠመዱና በተለይም ለጸረ ኢትዮጵያ አረቦች ለወያኔ እና ሻቢያን ዲሁም ለሚሲዮናዊ ክፍሎች በመስገዱ ኢትዮጵያዊ የሆነው የኦሮሞ ህዝብ ተቀን ከቶም ያስተበቅ ሳይችል ሲቋጥን የቀረመ ስብስብ ሆኖ ቆይቷል። ከህዝብ ተነጥሮ በሻቢያ ጉያ በመግባቱ ከሌሎች ኢትዮጵያውያን ኃይሎች ጋር ሊተባበር የሚችልበት ሁኔታ ጠቅም ብሎ በተጨባጭ መዘጋቱም በገቢርና በተጨባጭ የታየ ነው። ያፓ ከኦነግም ከኦጋዴን ግንባር ለመነጋገር በሞከረበት በኢትዮጵያ ስር አንሆንም ወይም አይደለንምና እናንተም ብትሆኑ ትምክህተኛ አማዎች ናችሁ የሚለውን ምላሽ ብዙ ጊዜ እንዳገኘ አረሳንም። ወያኔ ለመጣል ህዝብ ሲተባበርና በተለይም በኦሮሞና አማራው መሃል ኦነግም ወያኔ የገነቡት ግድግዳ ሲፈርስ ለብሶ የተቀመጡትም ለዚህ ነው። የህዝብን ትግል አሜሪካና ረቡዕ ተመሳጥረው ሲያፍኑና ኦህዴድን ሲያመጡ የቡድን ሲያኩት ኦነግ ነው እንደተባለው ሁሉ ባለምንጭ አባሎቹንና ኦነግን ጋብዞ አጥፎ በሀገር አስተማራ። ዘረኞች ተፈልገው በሁሉም መስክ ተሾሙ። በተራራ ፀሐይ ኦነግ 19 ባንኮችን ዘርፎ ገንዘብ ሲሰበስብ ለባለምንጮቹ ሚዲያ ደግሞ ሹሞቹ ራሳቸው ግማሽ ሚሊዮን ብር እርዳታ ሰጡ። ይህን መሰል እርዳታ ለሌላ እንኳን አማራውን ገደላችሁ ላላቸው ሚዲያም በቅርቡ ለግሰዋል። የጠገበው ሲሄድ የተራበው መጣ እንዲሉ እነዚህ ዘረኞች ደግሞ ጭራሽም ለከትና ይሉኝታን የማያውቁ ሆነው ህዝብን በስጋት ላይ ጥለዋል። አዲስ አበባ የኛ ማለታቸው ብቻ ሳይሆን መጤ ይውጣ ብለው ባለቤቱ ህዝብ ሊያባረሩም ተነስተዋል። ይህን የተቃወሙትን ይኸው እያሳደዱ ናቸው። ላልተፈቱት የፖለቲካ እስረኞች በሺዎች የሚቆጠሩ አዲስ አጀብ ልከውላቸዋል። ግራ ቀኙን እያፈሱ ናቸው። የሹሞቹና የነኦነግ ህብረት ማለትም የነኦነግና ኦህዴድ ጥምረት ለኢትዮጵያ መከራና ስቃይ አብሳሪና ለህልውናም አደጋ ሆኖ እነሆ ተገኝቷል። የኦነግ ወይም የጠባብ ኦሮሞዎች የፖለቲካ መስበር ከታሪክ የተጣላ ሲሆን ዋና ይዘቱ ኦሮሚያ በሚል ግንጠላን እውን ማድረግና ጠረት የሚሉትን አማራ ህዝብ መፍጨት ነው። የአኖሌ ሐውልት ብለው ሲመሰርቱ በመስራች ኮሚቴው ሹሙ እንደነበረበት እናውቃለን። ካረፉ ምዕት ዓመት ባለፋቸው አጼ ምኒልክ ላይ የሐሰቱን ዜና እየረጩ ጥላቻን ለትውልድ ለማስተላለፍ ሲባክኑ የቆዩ ሲሆን ዛሬም ከስልጣን ቦታ ሆነው ተግባራዊ ሊያደርጉ እየጣሩ ናቸው። የኦሮሞን ህዝብ ኢትዮጵያዊነት አጥብቀው በመካድና ታሪክን የማያውቁ ወጣቶችን በጥላቻ በመቃኘት ወንጀል ላይ መሰማራታቸውም ይኸው እየታየ ነው። ራሳቸው ከደርግ ተባብረው በኦሮሞም ላይ ጭምር የፈጸሙትን ወንጀል የፈጁትን የሸዋ ኦሮሞ አያነሱም። አሁንም መሰረታዊ አቋማቸው ያው ነው። በኢትዮጵያ ለውጥና ዴሞክራሲ የሚገኘው በህዝባዊ ስርዓትና በእኩልነት መንገድ እንጂ በተወሰነ ብሔር የበላይነት አለመሆኑ ቢነገር አልገባቸው እንዳለ አለ። በጠረትነት ፈርጀው እየገደሉና እያፈናቀሉትም ያለው ህዝብ በቀኝ ብሎ ሲነሳ መሄጃ እንደሚያሳጣቸው መገንዘብ የቻሉ አይመስልም። እብሪታቸው ጨምሮ ሹሞቹ ህዝብን መዝለፍም ጀምረዋል። በመፈንቅለ መንግስት ሽፋን ያካሄዱት ሴራ ቀደም ብሎ በአማራው ላይ የተጠነሰሰና አሁንም እየቀጠለ ያለ ዘረኛና የዘር ማጽዳትን ከግብ ሊያደርስ የታቀደ ነው። ቀጥረኛቸው ሆን ተብየው ለገንዘብ ሲል ቢደግፋቸውም ብዙዎቹ ግን ይህ ጸረ አማራ ዘመቻ ወዴት እንደሚያመራ ማወቅ አልተሳናቸውም። ከፊታችን የተደቀነው አለምንም ጥርጥር የኢትዮጵያን ህልውና በአደጋ ያስገባ አገዛዝ መኖሩን ነው። በጀመሩት ተቀጠሉ። የማያቸንፉት ግን አገርን ሊጎዳ የሚችል የእርስ በርስ ጦርነት ውስጥ ሊዘፍቁን ተነስተዋል። ዘረኛ የበላይነታቸውን ለማስፈን በሚጥሩበትም አማራንም ሌላውንም ሊፈጁ ወስነዋል። ከደቡብ ሱዳን ባመጡት ኑዌር አኝዋኩንና ኢትዮጵያውያንን በጋምቤላ የመፍጀት ዘመቻቸው ላይ አሉ። ቅማንት በሚል አማራውን እንዲሁም ጉራጌውንና ሌላውን ሁሉ እያፋጁ ናቸው። ከዚህ ሁሉ ጀርባ ምንም እሺ ያልተባለው ወያኔ አድብቶና ሹሙን እየዘወረም አለ። ወያኔ ያሌ ቀጥሎበታል። ደማችን የፈሰሰው ይህ እንዳይሆን እንደነበረ አልረሳንም አልዘነጋንም። የወያኔ ተቀጥላዎች፣ ቡችሎችና ጨብጫቢ ባንዳዎችና አንጃዎች ከሹሞቹ ጎን መቆማቸውንም የጠበቅነው ነውና ዛሬ በአማራው ህዝብ ላይ ሲዘመት ደጋፊ መሆናቸው ብዙም አላስገረመንም። ግን ለግን ካልናቸው አመታት አልፈዋል። ስለዚህም ኢትዮጵያን ዲስፈርስ ህዝቧም ወደ እርስ በርስ ሶማሊያዊ በጥብጥና ፍጅት እንዲገባ ከቶም አንሻምና ይህን ዘረኛ አገዛዝ በሁሉም መስክ ታግለን ለማስወገድ ህብረታችንና ክንዳችንን አጠናክረን መነሳት አለብን። በተራተራ ሲፈጁን በዝምታ ማየት መቀበል በራሳችን ላይና በአገራችን ላይ ወንጀል መፈጸም ነው። ወያኔ ያሪግን በሁለገብ ትግል እናስወግድ። ኢትዮጵያና ኢትዮጵያዊነትን በደማችን እንጠብቅ። ውድቀት ለዘረኞች ባንዳዎችና አንጃዎች ሁሉ።
እጆች ለጠመንጃ ለመብቴ ላገሬ ብሎ መነሳቱ ጦረኝነት ሆኖ ጸረ ሰላምነት በሚልም ተወግዞ ባጆጀን በሰለፍ መብቴ ብዬ ብጮህ ለአንድነት ብቆም በሰላም ለሰላም ልታገል ብሞክር ጦርነት ሰሪዎች የልቂት ፋብሪካዎች ጣቶች ቃት አይሳቡ ብለው አዘዙብኝ ሬሳ ከምረው ካርባቡቡ ጎንደር ከጌዲዮ ወተር በአዲስ አበባ ጭምር በኮሌጅ በመስጊድ ሬሳ ከምረው ንጹሃንን ገድለው ሰላም ወያኔን በገቢር አስረዱኝ ጦረኛ ነህ ብለው ጦሩን ሰደዱብኝ። ማናቸው ምግብ በሞላበት ጥላቻም ይበሉ ታሪክ ሳይረሳ አቅም ሳይቀበር ቅጥፈት የመረጡ አብረው ያበጁትን አልሰራንም ያሉ ማንነታቸውን ለመጥያፈ ታሪክ ሰርዘው የቆሙ በሰውነታቸው ጭራሽ እምነት ያጡ ጸንስተው ወንጭፈው ወገንን የከዱ ፍቅርን አስወግደው ጥላቻን ያቀፉ ሲጋባ ሲዋለድ ዝንተ ዓለም ተዛምዶ አብሮ የኖረውን በልዩነት እሳት እየለበለቡ በአዳም ካልሆነ ንክኪ የለንም ባድነህ ሌላ ሰው ብለው የሚያራርቁ ከድጡ ወደ ማጥ ከምጣድ ወደ እሳት ሁሌ እሚገቡ እግር ጤና ሆኖ መዳህ የሚቀናቸው ያሶሳ በደኖ ደም ያከረፋቸው የታሪክን መብራት በጥላቻ አቅልተው መለስ ሲጣላቸው አስመራን ለምነው በስም ብቻ አንበሳ በግብር ግን ቀለው አለን አለን ብለው እንደ ጤዛ ተነው ጉልበተ ጨጠማ ብርሃን ዳፍንት ሆነው የሚገኙ ምግብ ባልጠፋበት ጥላቻን ወጥቀው የሚቅበዘበዙ ማናቸው ንጉዶች ተርፎ ፍቅር አንድነት በቂም በቀልጠኔ መሞት የመረጡ ሀበሽኛ ከተሰኘው የሃማ ቱማ የገጠም ስብስቦች የተገኘ
ያመጣል መልገድ ይወጣል መንገድ አንድ ሚጠና አንድ ሚወለድ አባታ ሶቃሽ ልጅ አይወለድ አገር አዋራሽ ልጅ አይወለድ ታሪክ አብራቢ ልጅ አይወለድ የወገኖቹ ቤት እየተቃጠለ በአፈር በቅጠሎ ለማጥፋት ካልቻለ በእኔ አይደርስም ብሎ አይቶ ዝም ካለ ተረግቶ ይገዛ እፍነሻው ከቻለ ባውድማ በራቶ እንደት እንዴ ይውካው ሆዱ ካሸነፈው ለሆድ ደብ ካበቃው ከበር ይጫነበት ይሳብ እንደ በሬ አስተካማቲ ሆድ ለኢትዮጵያ ሀገሬ ለአገሩ ለአገሬ 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 በልበለው 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 በልበለው
የፓርላማ አባላትና የመሪዎች ሁኔታ። በሌላው ዓለም እንደሚስተዋለው መሪዎች በፓርላማ ቀርበው ሲጠየቁ በጣም ተዘጋጅተው ለተጠየቁት ጥያቄ ብቻ እርግጠኛ መልስ ይመልሳሉ እንጂ ያልተጠየቁትን በመዘብዘብ ጊዜ አያጠፉም። የኢትዮጵያ ፓርላማና መሪዎች ግን ሚናቸው የተለዋወጠ ነው። ፓርላማው እንደ ተጠያቂ ምክር ፈላጊ ተደርጎ የሚታይ የመሪዎችን ድስኩርና ድንፋታ የሚያዳምጥ ሆኖ ነው የሚታየው። መሪነን ባዮች እንዳላዋቂ ቆጥረው የፈለጉትን እናስተመር ሲሉት ነው የሚስተዋለው። ይህንን ለራሳቸው እንተወውና ህዝቡ በያጋጣሚው መሰደቡ ግን የሚያሳዝን ነው። አዲሱ ጠቅላይ ሚኒስትር ከፓርላማ አባላቱ ለቀረበለት ጥያቄ ሲመልስ ኢትዮጵያውያን በባህሪያችን ሜሞሪያችን አጭር ነው ሲል ህዝብን ዘልፏል። በአፍ ወለምታነትም ሆነ በተነጣጠረ ስድብ መለስ ዜናዊ ያለምንም ስጋት እንደፈለገ የፈነጨበት ፓርላማ ስለነበር ቢያንስ አዲሱ ሹም እንደመለስ አይኑን ሳያፈጥ እየተቀለሰለሰ የሚያደርገው በመሆኑ እንደማክበር ተቆጥሮለት ይሆናል። ከዚያ ውጭ ግን እንደተጠየቀው አንዳችም መልስ አልሰጠም። ስለ ኦነግ ከውጭ ስለገቡ ተቃዋሚዎች በአጠቃላይ ስለ ህዝብ ትግል ሳይሆን የኢህአዴግ ፓርላማ ባደረገው ምህረት ምክንያት ተቃዋሚዎች ወደ አገራቸው የገቡ መሆኑን ነው ሲመጣደቅበት የታየው። እርግጥ ነው ያለምንም ውለታ ጥሪ መጥቶልናል በሚል ሲከለተሉ የገቡትን ዳያስፖራዎች ቢያጣጥላቸው ሲታገሉ ሳይሆን አገር ለመግባት ሲለምኑ እንደኖሩ አድርጎ ቢያናንቃቸው በክብር ተደራድረው የገቡ ባለመሆናቸው የሚጠቅሱት የድርድር ፋይል የላቸውምና የኦነግን ያክል ስለመብታቸው የሚጠይቁበት ስምምነቱ ተጣሰ ብለው የሚቃወሙበት አዋረድከን ለማለት የሚደፍሩበት ሁኔታ የለም። የአዲሱን ሹም ትችት በጸጋ ከመቀበል ውጭ ምርጫ አይኖራቸውም። የፓርላማ አባላቱ እንደ ህዝብ ሆነው ለጥያቄዎቻቸው ተገቢ መልስ እንዲሰጣቸው ማፋጠጥ መብታቸው ብቻ ሳይሆን ግዴታቸውም ሆኖ ሳለ እንደዚያ ያለ ወኔ አልተስተዋለባቸውም። ለዚህም ነው ለውጥ የለም የምንለው። ፊትም በመለስ አሁንም በአዲሱ ሹም ዴሞክራሲ ቀልቀሎ ስልቻ ስልቻ ቀልቀሎ ከመባል እንዳያልፍ የሆነበት ምክንያት ህገ መንግስት ተብየው ሐሰትን ተመርኩዞ የተሰራ በመሆኑ ነው። ማፍረስ እንጂ ማደስ ስርየት አያስገኝለትም የምንለውም ለዚህ ነው። በዚህ ሁሉ ምክንያት የፓርላማው አባላት ነፃ ሆነው ለመከራከር እንደማይችሉ በፊቶቻቸው ላይ የሚታየውን ጥንቃቄ ማስተዋል ይቻላል። አዲሱ ሹም አንድም በውጭ አገር ሆኖ የሚቃወመን ፓርቲ ሆነ ሚዲያ የለም ሁሉም ገብተዋል ብሎ በድፍረት ሲዋሽ ምን ማለት ፈልገህ ነው ብሎ ሊያፋጥጠው የሞከረ አባል ያለመኖሩ ስለ ኢህአፓም ሆነ የፓርቲው ልሳን ስለሆነው ሬዲዮ ጣቢያ ፍኖተ ዴሞክራሲ መረጃ የሌለው በመሆኑ ነው ማለት አይቻልም። ኢህአፓን እንኳንስ ኢትዮጵያዊ ሆኖ አፍሪካዊም አውሮፓዊም ሆኖ መካድ የሚቻል አይሆንምና። በኢትዮጵያ ጉዳይ ላይ ምን እየተደረገ መሆኑን የማያውቅ የፓርላማ አባል ከመሪዎች ዲስኩርን ብቻ የሚጠብቅ ከሆነ ብቃቱ አጠያቂ ይሆናል።
ሳይውቁ የሚያደርጉት ትብብር ያስጠይቃል ብቃተንም ጥያቄ ውስጥ ያስገባል ያባ የወያኔ ፓርላማና ሹም አላውቀውም ስላለ የለም ማለት አይደለም ወይም የባዕዳን አማካሪዎች አግሉት ወይም በስሙ የሚንቀፋቀሱ ግለሰቦች ፈጥራችሁ አጥፉት ስላሉ ያሉት ሁሉ እውን ይሆናል ማለትም አይደለም የወያኔው ሹም የባዕድ ተላላኪ በመሆኑ ራሱን ከፍ ከፍ ለማድረግ ሁሉንም ልሁን የሚል እንደሆነ ከዲስክሮቹ መረዳት ይቻላል ያምሳና የስልሳዎቹ ፖለቲካ እንዳንሰራራ ማድረግ ያስፈልጋል ብሎ በፓርላማው ሲፋልል ዛሬ የቆመበትን ሰላማዊ ምድር የሚፈክርበትን መብት ያስገኙለት ያናናቃቸው የአምሳዎቹና የስልሳዎቹ ታጋዮች የከፈሉት መስዋዕትነት መሆኑን በተረዳ ነበር ከሁሉም በላይ የሚያስገርመው አዲሱ ሹም ለፓርላማው አባላት ዲሲፕሊን አስተማራቸው ነው ወይስ ለጥያቄዎቻቸው መልሰጠ ነው ማለት የሚቻለው ይህ አይነቱን የህዝበኝነት ያምባገነነት ስሜት ነው ያባ ሲታገል የኖረው መስዋዕትም የከፈለው አሁንም በማንም ድንፋታ ትግሉን የሚያቆም አለመሆኑን ያስጠጋቸውን የደርግ ጓደኞቹን ቢጠይቃቸው ይነግሩት ነበር ያባ የህዝብን ድምፅ ሲያስተጋባ የኖረ ኢትዮጵያዊነትን ለማስከበር መስዋዕትነት የከፈለ እንጂ እንደ አንዳንዶች ለጠላት ጥቅም ቆሞ አገርን ለመሸጥ የሚሯሯጥ አይደለም አሁንም ስልጣን ወደ ህዝብ እስካልተላለፈ ድረስ በግለሰቦች አምሮትና ፍላጎት ሊደለል እንደማይችል መገንዘቡ ይጠቅማል ድል የኢትዮጵያ ህዝብ ነው
አቶ ኢያሱ አለማየሁ የኢትዮጵያ ህዝባዊ አብዮታዊ ፓርቲ ሀባ ከፍተኛ አመራር ኮሚቴ አባል ጋር በእንግሊዝኛ ቋንቋ የተደረገውን ቃለ ምልልስ ክፍል አንድ እናሰማለን።
Hello everyone, on this face-to-face or guts-to-guts program today, we're going to present you a discussion about current Ethiopia's political situation with Ato Iyasu Alamayo, who is one of the founders of EPRP, or Ethiopian People Revolutionary Party, and an author of books like The Socialist Witch Doctor, Democratic Cannibalism, The Case of the Criminal Walk, Karada Charaka, and more. We'll invite you to enjoy the discussion.
First of all, we all would like to thank you, Mr. Iyasu Alamayo, for your willingness to have an interview with ፍኖተ ዲሞክራሲ ፍኖተ ርዒ ገጽ ለገጽ ፕሮግራም which is a synonym for face to face. So my first question will be how about you tell us your background and your relationship with Ethiopian politics?
Well, ever since the 60s we were university students, I've been involved in the student politics and the student struggle and demonstrations and activities against the then imperial regime of Haile Selassie. And from then on, my life has been tied or linked with the Ethiopian politics reforms. Went on to form the EPRP, and the EPRP struggle was waged for the last 40-something years. So I've been involved in all this as a militant, an activist, a leader, and all that.
All right. So what does EPRP stand for? And then can you mention some of the names of the founders and all that?
Well, the EPRP stands for the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Party. One, we wanted to emphasize it's for Ethiopia, for not one particular ethnic group. Peoples means that's very popular. It's based on the aspirations and wishes of the people, the majority of the people. Revolutionary, because we need revolutionary and all-out change from the feudal system to a democratic system. And that was a party, because we were going to be a party, not just a loose-ended movement or something of that. So we said this must be a party. So we passed with the 4 Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Party. That's the message of the... Well, the founding members, most of them are not alive. Founding members, what does founding member mean? I mean those who initiated the idea of forming a party and went around organizing it. Those people are not around now. Most of them have passed away. Those who were in the first congress of the party, there are, I don't know, I don't want to mention. Anyway, those who claim to be founders nowadays of the EPRP are not. Let me say like that and pass it.
All right. So, what led the formation of this party, or what was the situation that led or that caused you to form the party?
Well, at that time the regime was a feudal one. It was autocratic. There was the emperor. It was a monarchy, and the majority of the people were poor. They had no rights. So we said this must change. This must change in a radical way. And there was no possibility of struggling peacefully in Ethiopia. So we started with a demonstration, land to the tiller, education for the poor, etc. You know, very popular demands. Those were what pushed and prompted us. And that was also repressed because there was no freedom of protest or freedom of speech or for the press, nothing. So radical change was called for, and we had to go and demonstrate. We did peaceful demonstrations, got beaten, jailed, and gassed, and all that. But then we said this student movement has a limited task up to a point. The political struggle must now be raised to a higher level, and a political party must be formed, and the armed struggle against the regime launched. That's what pushed us. The conclusion that the role of the student movement has sort of ended, you know. It can still continue, but some higher stage of organization, higher stage of mobilization was needed. So we did that.
All right. So what happened after the regime, that means the Haile Selassie's regime, fall apart, and then what was the new form of government?
Well, there was a popular revolution of February 1974. Very vast sections of the population took part in it, including the soldiers and officers. So the emperor tried to contain the situation, to do a little bit of reform, which was too late and too little. And so the revolutionary struggle was going on, and the radical change was on the agenda. And that's the time when the military, which was better organized, armed, intervened. The EPRP was still very young. It was only 2 years since its formation. So it did a lot of contribution to the struggle in Ethiopia at the time. It was not armed or in a position of strength to take over power from the military, from the regime. So the military intervened. They called themselves Provisional Committee and Derg, and they took over power by force, and we had to continue the struggle against this regime, because it established itself as a sort of guardian of the revolution, banned everything, called the people would be subverted by the feudalists, they don't know anything. Sort of a replay, which we see now. And so we started we continued the political struggle against the military regime, and the military regime resorted to repression. And so that is known, you know, the Red Terror and all that continued from then on.
Well, we all know that the Red Terror has caused a lot of misery and even generational chaos. What can we say about, or what can you say about Red Terror and the White Terror that a lot of EPRP members claim that they took part because they were standing against the Derg regime. So what can you say about that?
No, we don't acknowledge this so-called Red and White Terror thing. The Red Terror, because the Derg, imitating the Soviet experience, said we are going to unleash a Red Terror on our enemies, and then we have to defend ourselves. So this action of self-defense is what they call White Terror. They also lie about the whole thing. They say that they started to shoot at us, that's why the military has to take all that measure, which was false. This lie is perpetrated again and again by the supporters of the regime, the remnants of the regime itself, and, you know, pseudo-historians. But when the EPRP intensified the political struggle against the Derg, the Derg immediately resorted to repression. Many of our members were killed, jailed, tortured, and so we had to resort to self-defense actions after being victims of violent repression by the military. And we took some actions in the cities and some areas. Till then we had even a guerrilla army, which we didn't even proclaim, because we said if there is a possibility of democratic struggle, peaceful struggle, we will use that way. But that was closed, the avenue was closed, and the repression by the military was very fierce, and so we resorted to some self-defense actions, which they call White Terror. And they transported the idea of what the Soviets called the Red Terror and the White Terror of the monarchists and all that into the Ethiopian context, which was meaningless, and they said White Terror, Red Terror, and like that, you know. But the Red Terror was a repression by the regime in place, the military regime in place, against all opposition. It was brutal, it was thousands of people and supporters have been killed, and we have resorted to self-defense actions. It was minimal, very minimal actually. So it was not White Terror, it was actually a revolutionary stand to defend ourselves from a violent repression. So they mix up metaphors and labels and designations of other experiences and bring them in. And so some pseudo-historians repeat it again and again, that's the whole thing.
So what have you tried with Derg? Like, did you guys sit together and try to talk and solve problems? Did they allow you to join them, like what the Sudanese people or the civilian are doing right now?
No, what he proposed was not the takeover of military power by the military is not correct. What he proposed was a provisional civilian government, composed of all sections of the society, all the contending forces, including the military itself, which was in power, and then all-encompassing provisional government of the people. And then they say, no, this is a provisional military government, we'll let go after we stabilize the situation, but then we have to stay and defend the country. That's what they said, provisional military government. Immediately they started banning demonstrations, banning peaceful protests, banning newspaper, anything. So we went clandestine, continued with our clandestinity. And so there was no way of talking with them, because they did not accept the idea of people's government, a provisional process, which will involve all sections of the society, and have a constitution that is supported by the people, discussed by the people, supported by the people, and then to set up a government of the people, of their choice. That was blocked. And so 17 years of misrule and dictatorship continued.
What does it mean by saying parts of the society? You were mentioning you guys were trying to involve parts of the society. Is that workforce, ethnic-based groups and stuff like that?
Yeah, all of them. All of them. Well, the labor unions, peasants unions, teachers unions, representatives of the military at the time, including themselves, ethnic groups. Which were ethnic groups were being formed, appearing, and we said also involving them. And then to seek also a peaceful and democratic solution for Eritrea at the same time, because the war was getting intensified.
Okay, what could you say about ethnic repression during those times?
It was a feudal system, and the feudal system was it is a backward system. And there was no equality. There is no equality between religions. That was a fact. I don't know why people try to deny this after so much time. There was no ethnic equality. There was a feudal system means that the land of peasants has been, their produce has been taken, was taken. By law it was 2/3 of their produce that was taken. By law, which they have to give to the, they were serfs. Gabbar, as they were called, or Tisanya. So we said this system has to be broken up. This system was linked also to ethnic inequalities at the same time. That does not mean that people of different ethnic groups were not represented in the government. Doesn't mean that. That's their misunderstanding. We said ethnic equality because we need a democratic system. A democratic system that will wipe out any form of oppression, discrimination. So we said the rights of nationalities, ethnic groups must be respected. That was from our point of view, from we were after all influenced by the leftist and the Marxist ideology, so that was our stand at the time.
Okay, let's move on to the next regime, which was named as EPRDF, Ethiopian People Revolutionary Democratic Front. So, what can you say about that? How the regime transformed from dirt, and then what can you say about the people's right and the way to engage in the politics?
Well, the struggle against the dirt was going on, and of course the foreign powers and foreign countries' elements preferred the TPLF, the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, and the Eritrean front led by Isaias Afwerki. They got the support of the majority of the Western countries, which were opposed to the Derg regime, which they called communist, because it was allied to the Soviet Union. And so, as the struggle progressed, and we were very affected by the Red Terror and the repression, and the repression was concentrated on us, and internationally also, because we stood for Ethiopia, those who didn't like Ethiopia also didn't like us. At the end of the day, in 1991, they were able to take power by force, supported basically by the United States of America. The same Herman Cohen, who is now supporting the regime in Addis Ababa, was the one who orchestrated and engineered the takeover of power in in May 1991. These were very repressive, dictatorial, anti-democratic ethnic groups, which pretended to be democratic, pretended to be even leftist, but in essence, in practice, since we knew them from the beginning, they were not in any way democratic. One, we were opposed to the TPLF ever since its formation. And back in 76, it's put out a program saying Tigray has to be a free country. All Ethiopia ethnic groups must form their own independent states. And that they define the struggle as anti-imperialist and anti-Amara, for that matter. So with that, from that, then on, we were at loggerheads with the narrow nationalist groups, as we call them, and those who were preaching secession or the dismantling of Ethiopia as a country. So when they came to power, they coalesced together. The coalition of these ethnic groups was orchestrated in London by Herman Cohn and the Americans. And so they came together. They did their own pseudo-transitional conference in Addis Ababa, to which they made sure that the EPRP cannot attend. And so we were deemed illegal, warmongers and all kinds of things. And so we were taken out of the legal process and denied legal existence. So we had again to continue the struggle, both in a military way and in a political way. And before they arrived to power in Addis Ababa, they attacked our bases in Gondar and Gojam. And it was very fierce battles that were taking place there. And some of our leaders were captured by the TPLF, and they have been disappeared since 1991. Nobody even, the so-called human rights organizations of the West never ask. We report about it, but they never mention it because they don't care. And so they consolidated their power with the full support of the United States, Britain, and the West. The TPLF, so the TPLF means the Tigray Liberation Front. And then they called other ethnic groups, they formed even new ethnic groups. And together they became the EPRDF ensemble, but the real EPRDF was the TPLF itself, the dominant one. And then they set up for the South One organization, for the Amhara, their own organization. By themselves, the TPLF set up the Amara organization, which is still in trouble and hated by the people. And then for the Oromos, they had the OPDO, in which the present leaders of in Addis Ababa were members. And so a coalition of ethnic nationalists under the domination of the Tigrayan Front, led by Meles Zenawi. That was the EPRDF, it was a fiction at that time.
So you didn't get the UN and other humanitarian organization is just because, do you think it is because you guys were socialists or something like that?
No, they are not, you know, the these guys are not really, some of them are not really human rights organizations. They are a front for intelligence and governments. They go along with the interests of the government. The radio and the publicity and the newspapers are also not that independent, most of them. So if somebody follows the dictator of the West and the West supports, IMF supports it, World Bank supports it, then they will support. And they never report on the reality of Ethiopia. It's like now. Now they don't report on what goes on in Ethiopia in the real sense. What they report is what they want the world to believe in. A reformist prime minister has come to power, things are changing in Ethiopia, economy is booming, and all this is a lie. It's a complete lie, and they don't care about this reality, because that regime serves their interest. If they like you, they will support you. If they don't like you, they demonize you, and it becomes the enemy of the people. Look at what they did with Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, and all that. They create the devils for us, and they create the angels for us. So the reality we in Ethiopia was that it was a Tigrayan-dominated ethnic chauvinist, very repressive, anti-democratic, corrupt regime. And that was exposed later on. That took years, 17 years, Derg was in power. They were there till 27 years, and now they are continuing in another form.
Okay, a lot of people, Ethiopian people, believe that the Westerners has played a role for the referendum of Eritrea. What can we say, or EPRP can say, based on that?
No, our stand on Eritrea was to respect the rights of the people. One, we never accepted the repression that was going on there. We opposed it. We said dialogue must be initiated and solution found. We suggested later on also suggested a federal solution as perhaps an alternative for the impasse. We never accepted the thesis of the Eritrean front that they were colonies of Ethiopia. We said no, they are not colonies of Ethiopia. It's not scientific, it's not factual. So we never accepted that, which got us their enmity, actually. When the EPLF of Front of Isaias Afwerki took over power in Asmara, and they say a referendum, but the referendum they had promised before, they want a referendum in which people will be asked if they want to unite, to continue the unity with Ethiopia, so if they want a federation or if they want independence. But when they really took over power, they said liberation or slavery. So of course, it was all a controlled operation. We tried to oppose all this at the United Nations with demonstrations, with appeals, with meeting with the embassy, the country representatives in New York. But all this was blocked because the Americans made a lot of pressure, even on African countries, so that they could approve, vote for, support the independence, the real political, de facto on the ground, they had taken over, so they supported that. So nobody said, no, this is not a correct procedure, Eritrea and Ethiopia should not be separated, nobody said that. Except the students in Addis Ababa who demonstrated against Boutros Ghali, who was the then head of the UN, and all that. And that referendum was done. It was not very, it was not done in a fair and just way, because it was controlled. The option was liberation or slavery, which is a very bad option to give to people. Because everybody will say liberation for sure. So we are not saying that the result of the referendum would have been different in another circumstance, etc. But that is the reality. That's what we opposed. Yeah, but we never advocated war again between Ethiopia and Eritrea to re-annex or to continue with what was the status quo before. But the TPLF and the EPLF, they had a love affair, which started a long time ago, and they continued that in it after they took over power, but it didn't last long also, because there were rivalries between them, economical, political, and other rivalries, and they went again to war with a lot of casualties. And you know what continued after that.
All right, so let's go on about, since we touched Eritrea, how about we talk about the human rights in Eritrea?
Because the referendum, they were asking for a referendum, and they said they would present three choices, independence, federation with Ethiopia, or unity with Ethiopia. But they said liberation or slavery. So the people had no choice, and they did not do it in a free way because they were controlled by the EPLF at the time, PFDG is now it's called. It's a one-party dictatorship, one-movement dictatorship, with one man, Isaias Afwerki, holding the reins of power. And as the Eritreans themselves now admit or say, it has been a very repressive and bloody dictatorship to which they have been subjected. So they went from bad to worse, as most Ethiopians have been doing up to now. So the regime's repressive rule has been exposed to the world at large, or by the world at large, all over. Of course, now nobody talks about those things because Isaias Afwerki has aligned himself with the Saudis, United Arab Emirates, and supports their war against Yemen. So he's a friend now, a friend and an ally. So they will not be emphasizing on exposing him, exposing his rule, because nothing has changed in Eritrea. He has arrested most of his comrades. There is no freedom of the press, there is no constitution, there is no rule of law.
If Meles now is alive today, will he still be in power in EPRDF?
Yeah, what will stop him? Death took him away very, very late, actually, in my point of view. But he passed away, that's good. But the TPLF as an organization is still there, still behind the new, so-called new people in power in Addis Ababa, are also allied to them in a way. They want to dominate. This is a ethnic musical chair, you know. The Tigrayans were supreme, that is the TPLF, have been a little bit sidelined because of American pressure, because they pushed them, because otherwise if they continued, the people's struggle was going to, popular struggle was going to overthrow the whole system, the whole regime, and they didn't know what would come after that. So they stopped the struggle. Otherwise, Meles would have continued in power, and they are still there. The TPLF is still there. They are in some of them are in Tigray, some of them are in Addis even. So it's not a matter of the popular struggle that was waged for in unity by the people, united the people, caused the change in the situation. That would have overthrown him also. That would have sent him into chaos also, but he was also decisive and very ruthless, so he could have stayed like Isaias, crushing everybody, denying freedom of any kind of freedom to the people, and having the support of the West because he was serving them.
10 years ago, your members, EPRP members, formed a faction, and they believed by the EPRDF's regime, and they said they want to go back in Ethiopia and struggle over there. Whereas you guys stayed and didn't want to involve on that kind of thought. So what can you say about the faction? Is the faction is alive today?
Are sort of natural. They happen for various different reasons. Because we are part of a society and the contradictions are there. The society moves ahead with contradictions. So differences in ideas sometimes cannot be resolved by talks and criticism. So they split occur. Back in the days of the Derg, that happened because two leaders of the organization said we should support, accept the Derg, Mengistu Hailemariam, and work with it. And the major said no, we cannot work with this regime. This is a very repressive dictatorial regime. It has nothing of any democratic redeeming quality, so we cannot accept it. And so when the majority rejected their idea, they split and formed a faction. That was the first appearance of a faction in our organization. The latest ones also said, let us, I think 10, 12 years ago, they said they wanted to go to ask legality from Meles Zenawi, accept his constitution, accept his rule, and work. That's what they thought, that they could work with the TPLF. And so they presented their ideas to the whole organization. The whole organization discussed it and rejected it. And that's the democratic process we follow. The majority decides, the majority then, after the majority decides, everybody has to respect that. But then they split, and they formed a faction. What was bad about this particular group was that they took the name of the EPIP. The others never took our name, never tried to steal our name. This one stole our identity. They called themselves EPRP Democratic, EPRP United, and you know they were the same little handful of people frustrated, maybe because the struggle took long, and they formed this thing. And they were just sitting here like this, doing nothing, and we continued the struggle. And when these new ones were put in power, they were told by their mentors and guardians that they should not, EPRP should not be allowed to involve in any transitional process. It can hijack the process. EPRP has a stand against imperialism, be it in Ethiopia or in the Horn of Africa or in Africa in general, so it's a very inimical force, it's our enemy, don't involve it, etc. So that order they accepted. But then again, they wanted to tell the people that even the EPRP has accepted and joined. So they pulled out this remnant and isolated elements, factionalists. They gave them the name. They accepted the name EPRP, and they invited them to a dispute, to nothing. They are there, I think a handful of them, but using our name and our banner.
Identity, okay.
Yeah. They know that they are not EPRP. The regime is just using them for its own purpose, and others are echoed this and this. Even the EPRP has gone in, which is not to have become legal. We are there, but we have been illegal. We have continued the clandestine work up to now. And that's how it is.
Okay.
So after Malazinai passed away, Hailemariam Desalegn came to power. And then Abiy Ahmed followed because Hailemariam Desalegn resigned. Can you compare Abiy Ahmed with Meles Zenawi? And before that, can you go over the way Abiy Ahmed came to power after the resignation of Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn?
There was a struggle. The TPLF ruled by dividing the people, especially the majority people of the majority ethnic groups like the Oromos and the Amaras, the Somalis and the Oromos, you know, dividing and so that people could not unite to struggle against the regime. But this idea was defeated 4 or 5 years ago, and people started to struggle in both in the Amara, Oromo areas and all this, and they started to unite against the TPLF, focused. And this was going to be a very successful struggle. The TPLF was not able to control it. And so the West, especially America, intervened. Ambassador Yamamoto was becoming almost a tourist in that area, daily tourist, going to Addis, going to Asmara, going to Dubai, and concocting all these things. And in the end, they said the TPLF cannot hold it. TPLF is going down, it's going to fall, and maybe a very nationalist Ethiopian thing can come out of the whole process. So they said it has to be stopped. The popular struggle has to be stopped. And then they put a lot of pressure on the TPLF, as they admitted themselves, the leaders admitted, and so that they can let go and accept the coming to power of the Oromo faction within the EPRDF. And so they had a long list of names with which they started to study the whole process. And a lot of meetings were held in Washington, D.C., State Department, CIA, AFRI Command, Pentagon, and all these so-called specialists and experts on Ethiopia. And they picked up this the one who is now the Prime Minister, saying he's more fit and he can qualify to dupe the people to stop their struggle. And that was it. Other Hailemariam coming to power, he didn't come to power. He was elected and put there by Malas before and the TPLF, because they could not agree among themselves after the death of Malas, they were divided. This one had no power, nothing to do with anything. They just put him there as a figurehead, and they ruled behind him. They ruled the whole thing. The TPLF was in power even when Hailemariam was there. He was forced to resign, told to go, finished, to leave the place to the new one. And all this was done in the by foreign powers, by America, and then by Saudi and the Emirates. The accord with Eritrea, peace accord, etc., which is very flawed, has not involved the people, has not involved really any real issues as such, except the propaganda thing, and which helped EPLF, the dictatorship, which was isolated, which was boycotted, and which had a lot of measures against it, all were lifted. And he came in from the cold. He gained from that. The Ethiopian people, nothing. Ethiopian Eritrean peace, actually nothing. It will not endure. We can say this for sure. It will not endure unless a real democratic government comes to these countries. We have always persisted in saying peace in the Horn of Africa countries can come only through championing and advocating democracy in all these regimes. You cannot have peace with Omar al-Bashir, Isaias and Meles together, dictators ruling over these countries. There can be no peace. That's what we said. We must have a global view. And then it must be an independent view, an African view, which keeps the interests of the Ethiopian people, which forwards the interests of the Sudanese people, the Eritrean people, the Somalis, the Kenyans, and not the interest of the Western powers. So this is where we differ with them, where we are really pan-Africanist and nationalist in essence.
Okay, if IFP continued their protest since Abiyam came to power, and you've been mentioning in your Radio Fenata Democracy for the past 18 months since he came to power, saying that there is no difference between Meles Zenawi, Hailemariam Desalegn, including the Derg regime, Mengistu Hailemariam. So how do you end up concluding before you saw the way he was ruling?
No, because you said, you know, the process, we relied on the struggle of the people, and the struggle of the people was demanding democracy and the downfall of the TPLF-EPRDF regime as a whole. Now this was the demand of the people, which we supported also, which we stood for and fought for. Now this thing came in as a stopgap solution. It's like the Sudanese, for example. The Sudanese are better in that sense, in the fact that they were not stopped. They continue the struggle up to now. What the outcome we'll see, but the military tried to stop them. Came, overthrew Bashir, pushed out Bashir, which was the demand of the people also, actually. But then they wanted to continue the system by substituting themselves for Omar al-Bashir, and the people said no. What happened in Ethiopia was that there was a popular struggle which undergirded the whole system, the whole conception of Ethiopia, and which was deemed to be contrary to the Western interest in that region, that was their conclusion. And then they have their conclusion about Ethiopian nationalist forces who want the interest of Ethiopia, who advance the interest of Ethiopia. They call them chauvinists. They call them Amara supremacists. Because they equate the demand for an independent, nationalist Ethiopian political reality, they consider it a threat to their imperial interests in the region. That's what, to put it bluntly. So any organization that pushes that idea, that stands for that idea, for an independent, sovereign Ethiopia, is also anathema to them. They cannot accept. They say they are anti-American, they are anti-West, they are communists, they are things of that sort, you know, which we have been used to, you know, for the last century or so, you know, in Africa especially. So we knew about it because the role of the new elements were not new. The Prime Minister designate, who is now in Addis, was 27 years an active member of the TPLF and NDPRDF. He was a member of the Oromo Nationalist Ethnic Nationalist Organization called OPDO.
Did you say 27 years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was a member of that organization. He was not a member of any pan-Ethiopian or all-encompassing Ethiopian movements. No, he was an Oromo Nationalist within the Oromo OPDO. Within the TPLF and the PRDF, he was an official, he was a central committee member, and then he was a guy who was specialized, trained here by the National Security Agency of America to do IT intelligence work, blocking radios, interfering in computer and internet activities. That was his job. He was deputy in charge of INSA, the intelligence as organizations have set up and continued. And he did this very effectively and loyally till he was picked up and put in power. So we didn't need any foresight or any, we are not being prophets when we said he's the continuation of the thing. And the other main important thing is that we said, okay, let us have a transitional government. Let us have a transitional process involving again, the whole ethnic groups, different political organizations representing the society, Ethiopian society in its diversity. And let us get rid of the constitution which was set up by the ethnic federalism, which is the base of the ethnic federalism that ruined Ethiopia. So he said, from the beginning, he said, there will be no transition. I'm the one who's going to transition from one place to another, which was very arrogant and stupid, but that was their intention, because a real transition will make a real Ethiopian government, democratic government, a reality, which was not accepted by the powers that be. So from the beginning we knew that was not the case. And then but there was a vast PR movement orchestrated by the foreigners to present him as a reformist, new dynamic leadership, a new dynamic setup. Nothing changed. For example, political prisoners, release of political prisoners. He did release not even a quarter of the political prisoners existing in Ethiopia even now, but they covered for it. He released all prisoners. He brought in banned parties. He brought in parties, ethnic groups that were linked to either the West itself or to his interest as an Oromo nationalist, as a narrow nationalist. That's what he did. He did not remove all the anti-democratic decrees set up there by Meles, including the so-called law on terror, against terror, the Charities Act, which controls NGOs, activists of NGOs, and press freedom. All these things did not happen, but a lot of PR was, public relations was done all over the world, as if in Ethiopia this is a big change that has come. It's a relatively, window dressing is done, paint over the walls, but in reality the foundation is still the same. The same system is continuing, and we are seeing it now.
የቃለ ምልልሱ ክፍል አንድ በዚሁ ይጠናቀቃል።